Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Are you fueled up?
I'm fucking furious.
Wait, why are you furious?
Well, we need to talk about it. It can't be anything else. The main topic of conversation has got to be the massive shortage at the sperm banks.
Oh, the sperm banks.
Yeah. I mean, the sperm banks, they're crying out for donors because all the wankers are at the fucking petrol stations.
I mean, it's crazy. I don't really understand it. I've been on holiday for a week, so I've been a little bit shielded from all what's been going on because I didn't want to engage too much in the news while I was on holiday. I had a quick look here and there, and I could see this sort of building as the week went on. As I was on my holiday, one day I'd look, slight thing about fuel, then it was reaching a crescendo by about Friday, and when I came home Saturday, all hell had been let loose upon petrol stations.
Oh, man.
Now, what I don't understand is, again, because even since I got home, I just think, oh, fuck, I've come home from a lovely, relaxing holiday. I don't want to be too stressed out too quickly. So
right.
I've been avoiding a lot of the news, okay? But what I have seen is government ministers saying there is not a shortage of fuel in the country. So why are people going mental?
I don't know. I think it's
because we haven't got the drivers to get it to the... We've got enough fuel in the country. It's just we can't get it to the petrol stations. Is this what's happening?
Yeah, there is a shortage of HGV drivers to bring the fuel to the places. And the poor fuckers that can get their HGVs on the roads, you've got these Insulate Britain arseholes who are throwing themselves in front of the trucks to cause as much chaos as possible.
Right.
Half of those
but who
people,
are they green? What are they protesting about?
They're protesting that basically the government should be paying to insulate every home in Britain, which I'm not even necessarily against. I just can't stand the way they're going around it. And also, I've seen this fucking idiot, one of their spokespeople on the TV.
Right.
And he was sort of getting very upset. He even ended up storming off the show. I think it was Good Morning Britain with Suzanne Reid.
When everyone storms off that show.
It's like a prerequisite.
Yeah, he's like, are you going to storm off? Yeah, come on. Fine.
Because they happen to point out that this arsehole doesn't even have his own house insulated. Oh, so no, they don't even talk to me about those people. They just... I'm so cross this week. It's untrue. Today, as we record, has been my day off work.
Yeah.
I went walking yesterday because I've got just enough fuel in the car for something I need to do.
You're not queuing up, Ben. Are you not panicking?
I went walking around the petrol stations just to have a little look, and two of them were closed. And I thought, no, that's it. I just give up. I'll have to walk because I can't use the little fuel I have to get to something I need to be at. I need to save that, so now I need to walk everywhere.
Well, that's today, fine, though, isn't it? Shouldn't we all be doing that a bit more anyway?
Well, there's an argument for that. Now is not the time.
There are trains and buses you can get to places. Yeah, let's not get too stressed out about having a car. Maybe that's what we all need to start thinking about, Ben. Let's take the stress out of having to rush to a petrol station. Well, that's all right. Because where are all these people got to go that's so important that they've got to go and queue up for hours to get some petrol? Presumably, it's vitally important that they get somewhere. And there's no other way to get there. They can't find any other mode of transport to get them to their destination. So I've got to go out. I've got to find petrol. I need petrol!
Well, this is the issue. I mean, today I went out again walking and I spotted two of them.
Are you
roping?
Just going out to watch the queues? Are you a queue spotter?
No, I'm not. And in fact, that was the very thing that put me off because I thought, okay, good. There is petrol now. But there is also a 4-hour plus queue to get it. And not to complain too much about where I live, but it happens to be that there's a very annoying one-way system, which is now completely...
Of course, there's a lot of tractors that would need a lot of fuel.
It's completely clogged up. You can't... Even if you didn't want to go to the petrol station, you can't get round the one-way system anymore for all these dickheads queuing up. And they don't need it. Some of them are just going out because there's a rush. And I'm so annoyed. But I have no solution for it. I think the worst thing the government can do is go on the radio, go on the TV and say, don't panic buy petrol, because I know how human beings work. People are therefore going to panic buy petrol. It's just the worst thing you can tell them. I don't have a better solution, though. But I'm just so disappointed with humanity. I just see those people there filling up jerry cans
They can fuck off.
Unless they're a gardener, for example, who needs to be filling up lawnmowers, strimmers, all these sort of things. But I'd say if you're going to do that, make it clear that's what you're doing. Because otherwise, you look like an arsehole who's not only satisfied with filling up your entire fuel tank, you want some more as well.
I think the problem is we've become a very panicky society. And I don't know whether that started with the pandemic. I was thinking about this earlier, right? I was just ruminating on all of this a little earlier because I'm coming back from holiday. I'm in slightly thinking mode because when you're on holiday, you stroll around, you relax, you think things through, you know, and I think I'm still in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
So I was thinking all this through this morning. I was thinking, do you think before the Second World War, when war looked a possibility, people went out and panic bought stuff? I'd love to know that. I don't know whether they did or not. But we seem to have become, like before the pandemic, it was like toilet rolls. I must have toilet rolls and I must have pasta. And people went mental. And now there's a little hint of the possibility. And this is the thing, right? The only reason there's a shortage at the petrol stations now is because you've all gone out and fucking bought it. So I'm a bit confused by the whole thing. I don't know whether we've become a very panicky society. And is this all to do with Brexit? I don't know, Ben.
I think it's fairly uncontroversial to say that I think Brexit has played its part in this current crisis. We never used to have fuel shortages before Brexit, did we?
I think in the past there were, you know, the winter of discontent and all that in the 70s.
When was that, the 70s? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 50 years ago.
And I do remember, there have been times over the years, I remember there being panic about fuel, because there were, a few years ago, there were all queues at the petrol stations. It lasted a few weeks and then they sorted it out. And the weird thing was, I was driving home from holiday on Saturday. I was coming back from the Isle of Wight. Didn't see any queues on the Isle of Wight at petrol stations, but then it's a very small place. I don't think there was a panic that had quite yet reached the Isle of Wight. There wasn't really any panic until we started to get it towards London. That's when you started to see, first of all, small queues at petrol stations. And then as we got nearer to London, bigger queues.
Yep.
Until we got to about the last mile to my house that normally you can drive in, let's say, even if the traffic's a little bit busy, you might do that last little bit. Let's say it might take you 10 minutes. I think we were waiting about 40 minutes.
Oh.
And I said to my parents, who were in the car with me, I said, I bet this is a queue holding everything up because there's a petrol station just down the road from where I live. And sure enough, when we finally got to there, that's what it was. And then we spoke to someone who said, oh, yeah, no, it's been awful. The buses have had to go on diversion because of people queuing at petrol stations. You think, my God, what is going on? And I've started to think that maybe the end of the world is coming, Ben.
I think you might be right, because it's going to have, of course, if it continues, it's going to have a knock-on effect where they can't afford to fuel the big lorries that take food to supermarkets. So then people will start panic buying as well, and there won't be food in the supermarkets either. And it's going to go on and on and on. I work for you won't get your post anymore because there'll be no fuel to put in the Royal Mail vans.
Well, walk. I mean, you know, you've got to provide the post.
But how?
Yeah, walk.
Oh, okay, I'll get a horse.
Horses. Go, you must be, where you live, there must be, instead of using horses to hunt foxes, get them out on the Royal Mail. Do you know what? If I saw my postman, he would be known as a horseman then. If the postie was to turn up on a horse, that would make my day. Dustman would have to start.
Oh,
going,
yeah.
Going back to the old days of the rag and bone man, the horse and cart, the dustman on horse and carts, taking all the rubbish.
There's your next problem. Bins piling up.
No,
of course.
Horses.
Those big bin lorries that you like to take all your rubbish away, they require a thing called fuel. So if there's none of it about, it's going to just fuck everything up. And people are just going to panic, panic. Pigs?
Pigs.
Why are you saying pigs to me?
Well, because pigs could come round and they could certainly eat some of the waste. So that would reduce the amount of waste that need to be taken away. If once a week you had bin men arrive on horses, so they could take the stuff that needs to go on the back of a cart. But they also had pigs in tow. So rather than the bucket for all your food stops, they just bring a pig round. The pig will eat away for 10 minutes, empty your bin. That's done. So pigs and horses are certainly part of a solution here. I've not heard that mentioned in any government briefing that I've heard so far. They've all talked about visas for drivers and that sort of thing. No one's talking horses and pigs.
So these pigs are supposed to munch through plastic bags, empty yogurt pots?
They'll certainly get their snout into a yogurt pot and lick out any remaining yogurt. I'm not saying they've got to eat through bags. I mean, you have a bucket for your food slops. They come round, eat it all. There's a solution there. I'm offering solutions and I can't see any problem with it.
You're being deliberately facetious and annoying. and I'm not in the mood for it.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that there's a solution there. Use pigs and horses as part of the solution, and let's get back to a more basic, simple lifestyle.
And where are we getting the pigs and horses from?
Farms. There's loads of pigs in the UK. There's got to be lots of pigs who are just, I mean, what do pigs do all day? Not a lot. Let's get them working. Let's get a pig out and about. They'd probably really enjoy it. They'd have
and
they'd
genius. How do we transport the pigs and horses? How do we get them from A to B?
Well, they walk, don't they?
They walk, do they?
You'd have the pigs on the back of a cart that the horses are pulling along. So the horses are... You'd have a lot of horses available because there'd be a lot of cart... You're literally going to need a lot of horsepower. Not the horsepower for cars and lorries. You're literally going to need a lot of horses to carry quite large carts. One will be full of pigs, the other one for collection of rubbish. I think I've dealt with some of the problem there. And if any government minister wants to invite me onto a committee to try and solve problems, I'm waiting for your call.
I tell you what, I mean, it's better than some of the ideas I've heard from this lot who are trying to sort this shit out. It's ridiculous.
Talking of horses, though, I'll tell you the other thing I thought is this all part, you know, the horsemen of the apocalypse?
Oh, yeah.
Are we into that now? That's what I mean about the end of the world. So we've obviously had pestilence, the disease. We've had the pandemic, haven't we?
Yeah, I don't remember queues at petrol stations being one of the horsemen of the apocalypse. Well, is it six or seven?
Well, there's only four of them.
Four?
I don't know who the other ones you're bringing into. They're obviously putting the carts. But no, there could be like a modern thing. So, I mean, there is famine in the world at the moment on a serious note. There is.
Let's get serious and talk about famine on our podcast. That's what we do. That's what we're known for. But there is serious, hard-hitting points about famine.
There is famine in the world, but maybe famine could also mean a famine of fuel. We are experiencing. We're into famine. We've had pestilence. We've had famine.
I'm sure that's a great point, mate. Yeah, you can talk to some starving children in third world countries and tell them that, you know, whilst they haven't eaten in months, you haven't got any fucking fuel in your car. I'm sure they'll say, oh, yeah, that's a famine, just as valid as ours.
No, but what I'm saying is if one of the horsemen of the apocalypse is famine, you've got legitimate famine, lack of food happening in the world. But those of us who have plenty and live in we have to experience another sort of famine. And maybe that's a modernization of the horsemen of the apocalypse. They've had a meeting. They've all sat down and they said, well, look, we need to modernize a little bit. You know, what we've got is thousands of years old. You look at Britain, there's not going to be a shortage of food in Britain. Even if we get rid of some trucks, there's still going to be food there. So let's take their fuel away. So that's part of that horseman of the apocalypse. That's dealt with. War is happening all the time, isn't it? War's just non-stop war. So that's happening anyway. So we've only got one more to come, and that's death. So as I mentioned, Ben, I've just come back from a week's holiday of just chilling out by the sea in the Isle of Wight.
I think it sounds like it's worked as well. You don't sound... I was expecting you to be livid by our last conversation, but you seem genuinely calm and relaxed and accepting of it all.
Well, I think I'm still in that calm phase. It doesn't take long for it to start to dissipate, though, does it? The relaxation that you gather from being on holiday. So I've been back less than 48 hours as we record. And I've already had a shouting match this afternoon.
Now, that does surprise me, because...
Not with someone face-to-face, just out the window, just the normal reaction to the noise and din that I've been away from for...
Howling at the moon, you do that all the time, but actually screaming at a physical person in front of you, that's very uncharacteristic.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it. I very rarely do that. But I, for the last 7 days, I was waking up to the sound of the lapping sea on a shingle beach. Lovely sound, that just so relaxing. Even when I went to bed, you could just hear that gentle noise.
The lapping of the sea.
The lapping of the sea on a shingle shore. The odd boat. I've turned into one of those meditation tapes.
You have. You've gone very ASMR.
Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should launch a meditation tape. And just so I'd start in holiday mood. Close your eyes and imagine the sea lapping gently along a shingle shoreline. The odd ferry will blow its horn in the distance. The seagull making a lovely cawing sound in the distance. Imagine being there and being relaxed. Now you're back in Thornton Heath. It's 7:30 in the morning. Instead of the lapping sea against a shingle shoreline, you've been awoken by the car horn dawn chorus as the school run mums vent their fury at no one in particular. Oh, it's 8 o'clock. The workmen have arrived to do something along the pavement. The lovely sound of axle grinders and jackhammers pounding away on the streets at 8:30 in the fucking morning. Relax. Jesus Christ, mate. Honestly, I've not been back 48 hours and the noise. I've not heard any of that. I think I heard one car horn while I was away. I think I heard one siren while I was away.
Yeah, so welcome home.
But I had a lovely time.
I'm glad you did.
Lots of fishing.
Oh, you went fishing?
Didn't catch anything. Nothing at all.
Oh, really?
You know when you see people along the beach and they're also fishing... And they start to bring in the odd little fish. And you think, well, there must be fish out there. Nothing. But it didn't bother me. I just thought, I'm here. I'm looking out at the sea. It's very relaxing. I don't need to be catching the fish. I just need to be standing here, chilling out, watching everyone else catch fish. But little fish, not even like... I started to wonder if there's not enough fish in the sea. You know, there was always that saying, there's plenty of fish in the sea. There isn't. There isn't plenty of fish in the sea. Maybe that's all part of the famine again, Ben.
Or Brexit, they're all left.
Yeah. Or just the overfishing of the oceans that is part of the environmental crisis that humans have brought upon the earth.
Well, I mean, you're making a lot of excuses. You might just be a shit fisherman.
Well, it could be that I'm a shit fisherman. But there didn't seem to be much action going on fish-wise, but didn't need it. Didn't need it. You know, just standing there chilling out was fine.
It sounds to me like this should be the retirement plan. You need to leave Croydon and central London as soon as possible. You sound miserable back at home already.
I attempted to fly a kite very briefly. My dad took this kite on the holiday, right?
What decade are you from?
Well, the kite itself was from the 1980s. So we took a kite and... my dad was flying it, and he said, would you like to have a go? Now, I know that I'm not a natural kite flyer. I don't have the coordination particularly needed to successfully keep a kite in the air. So he said to me, do you want to have a go? I literally held on to the kite, I don't know even what you call them, handles? Are they called handles?
Oh, I have no idea.
Hand grips of the kite. It started to dive out the sky. I released the kite back into the care of my dad. So that wasn't a particularly successful bit of sort of holiday excitement, but I didn't need it. Didn't need it. I was quite happy to watch someone else fly the kite and just chill out on top of this hill with magnificent views, one side of the countryside, seeing birds of prey, just hovering and then diving down as they were going for their prey. And on the other side, the calm ocean lapping away. Didn't need kites. Didn't need fish.
And whilst you were away, did you miss any of the mod cons of day-to-day London living?
Like what?
Like computers.
No.
Things like that.
No, I had internet access on my phone if I so wished. The only thing about it was you realise that it seems to all turn off at about 11 o'clock at night. Turn the telly on after 11, there's barely any signal. The internet doesn't really work after 11, but it's just assumed that someone's just switched it off, just saving a bit of electricity for the island, just turn that off at 11 o'clock at night. But then you realise you don't need it. You know, I didn't really miss any television, didn't really miss too much internet. There is a little bit when you can't get on your phone and you're trying to find something out. No internet. But that didn't worry me. Didn't worry me at all. The only slight downside was the mosquitoes.
Oh, is it known for that, is it?
Not really. But where we were staying just seemed to be a little area of activity for the mosquitoes. And they do like me. I don't know. My blood must be very delicious to a mosquito because they do use me as literally a piece of meat on which to feast.
Are you getting bitten all over, or do they zone in on one area?
All over, mainly arms and legs. Back, though, that you always get one where you can't quite reach. It's that really awkward spot. I think they must know that. They look at it and think, that's going to really annoy him, so let's go right for that little bit.
I think you're giving them a lot of credit.
You don't think they think about those sort of things? Because I think they're scheming little fuckers.
If they were scheming, it probably wouldn't be unless they're perverse, it probably wouldn't be just, where can this guy not reach to scratch? Mm. Because that would be truly evil.
Yeah, they are. They are evil.
But surely it's more likely that if he can't reach to scratch this area, then he can't reach to swat this area, so I can successfully get a hit.
Oh, okay. So it's more self-preservation than...
I think you're attributing far too much evil genius to a mosquito.
Okay. And these were particularly nasty. The first night, I didn't realise there were mosquitoes in the room, but the first night, I was kept awake quite a bit by the high buzzing sound of something near my ear. And you know the mosquito's got very distinctive buzz, hasn't it?
Yes.
I like listening to buzzes. Is that something that you would do? You'd sort of, because the bumblebee's got, it's a meaty low buzz, isn't it? It's like the bumblebee's a heavy insect and it's got a heavy buzz about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you go up to the bee, it's not quite as heavy, it's got a slightly lighter buzz. And then the blue bottle, that's an annoying, more high-pitched buzz. By the time you get to the mozzie, it's like a little Fokker, you know, the German plane. Sort of got that little noise about it. It's coming in. It's sort of nose diving in to its target to get your blood. And I'm sure that noise is them sort of dive bombing you because it's the speed at which they're coming at you. That's what I reckon.
You obviously put a lot of thought into this. You've had a very productive week off.
you notice the buzzing more than the biting to start with. Because even the first morning, I was thinking, perhaps they weren't mosquitoes. I didn't feel that I was really bitten. And then, of course, as the day went on, the bite started to really irritate and then swell up. And I don't react well to them either. I get very red, very itchy, I get very swollen. And then my whole arms became very red and very irritated by it all. And I wasn't sure whether that was the mosquito bites.
Right.
And then I wondered, because I was very lucky with the weather, and I started to think, perhaps I've just been inside too much and I've become slightly vampiric. And being out in some sunshine is causing my skin to sort of bubble and start to melt. But the mosquitoes were the only downside of it. But I bought some fly spray. Man, that was beautiful going to town with the fly spray. You'd imagine that there'd be some music playing. I'd like to see a video of me fly spraying in slow motion with maybe Barber's Adagio for strings. So it's a bit like a scene from Platoon with all the mosquitoes dying, falling to the ground. Because that was, it was a lovely moment, that.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. We were talking recently about some of the attractions in the Isle of Wight. I wondered if you'd managed to get to any of the famous attractions that you were pointing out existed.
I didn't go to any of the ones I pointed out, but I went to a couple of attractions, did an open-top bus ride up to the Needles.
Right.
So that was nice. And the view you get as you come back, because Alum Bay, do you know Alum Bay?
I'm not familiar.
It's got all the... It's this wonderful display of different... different coloured sands.
Oh, Trev, you sound like you're in your 90s.
On the cliff face. And it's stunning, right? It's. I think there's... I forget how many different colours there are. There are a lot of different colours. And it's a spectacular view. That was exciting.
Exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Went to an aviation museum and... learned a lot about the Isle of Wight, mate. A lot of history, a lot of aviation history. I didn't know that there was a rocket launch in the Isle of Wight to launch a satellite into space back in the day.
I mean, I just think, I mean, I'd have been begging for a rocket launcher halfway through this holiday. It sounds like, I mean... I think even pensioners who went on this thing would have been looking for some sort of adrenaline rush. This sounds like the most placid, but at least you had fun.
Yeah, and next time I go, when I get the bus up past Adam Bay to the top of the Needles, I'm going to get off the bus, because I didn't get off the bus on this occasion, but I'm going to get off the bus, because apparently if you walk to the end of the little track as you get off, the gantry, or at least some of the gantry, is still there from the rocket launch. And I know that's not much. It's just a bit of, probably a bit of scaffolding or something. But to think that that's where a bit of space history took place. And at the Aviation Museum, they've got a replica of the rocket, a life-size replica of the rocket. And I believe that this year is the 50th anniversary of the launch. So they're going to have lots of events on the island to mark 50 years since the rocket launched from the Needles in the Isle of Wight to launch a British satellite into space, Ben.
So you timed that holiday badly. If you'd waited another week, you could have seen that happen.
Well, I think it's a few weeks off. But yes, I could have seen that. There's a lot of history on the Isle of Wight, Ben, that I didn't know. A lot of aviation history that I wasn't aware of. And that's an excitement to me to learn those sorts of things, because you're not open to any new education, Ben. Yeah. I'm sure if there was like a Mario Kart museum there, you'd be there. You'd be interested. There was a flight simulator, but I didn't have a go on that.
Why not? That sounds really fun.
My dad went in. He had a go. It was a virtual reality mask you had to put on, and you could fly this little plane over the Isle of Wight.
Why didn't you fancy it?
I just no, because it was too much pressure, too many people watching you. I'm always going to crash it, and I don't want to be seen to be the one to crash it.
But you've denied yourself an experience there on pride, male macho pride, has cost you a lovely experience there.
Yeah, next time though, that's something to bank for next time, isn't it?
Well, you're going back.
Of course I'm going back. Of course I'm going to go back.
Jesus Christ.
When I went to America a few years ago, and I went to Kennedy Space Center, there's a simulation for the rocket launch. And as you're queuing up to get onto this thing, I was beginning to think, do I want to do this? I'm not really into rides. But I did think at that point, I'm in the States. I'm probably never going to be here again. I'd love to know what it feels like to be launched into space, to be on the space shuttle. So I thought, I've got to do this. And they're playing videos as you're queuing up, and there's lots of astronauts sort of talking about their experiences and saying, this ride is very, very spot on in terms of the sensation. And it was amazing, Ben. You go in, you're tipped, not quite sort of upright, but you're tipped way back, and then it rocks you, it shakes you, and it plays all this noise in. It's a really visceral experience. And yes, I wouldn't have missed that for the world. But plane simulator in the Isle of Wight, I thought I'd be back.
Yeah, not today. That's a bit much. I've done the whole NASA experience, but the Isle of Wight flight simulator. Oh, hey, calm down, boys.
I think I've got a slight problem.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What's wrong?
And I thought you might be able to help me out.
I'll try.
I've got this problem that I struggle to say no to people when they accost me or stop me to buy something or sign up to something.
Right.
So I went to a shop yesterday to buy a couple of basic things. I've been away for a week. I got home. I thought, I need bread. I need milk. That's all I wanted. Bread and milk. I went round to the little shop round the corner. I've known the man there for years and years. And He'd often try and sell me something else while I'm in there. But I went for milk and bread. I came home with milk, bread, a mango, and an air plant.
What's an air plant?
An air plant is a little plant that lives on air. You don't need to water it. It's very low maintenance.
Okay.
But I don't really want one. And I did say no to start with. I thought, no, I'd be strong, Trev. You don't need an air plant. You don't want an air plant. You've already got a fucking mango you came with. I don't really eat mangoes. That's probably just going to mould and be thrown out. So that's a pound wasted or whatever it costs me. I looked at these air plants that he was pointing to at with great enthusiasm. He said, oh, look, have you seen the air plants? And I went, oh, yeah, they're nice. He went, they're £4. I said, well, I don't really want an air plant, thank you. And he went, oh, okay. But I said, oh, I'll think about it. I said, yeah,
of course.
I can't really keep plants that well. I tend to kill them, but I'll think about it. Anyway, he then put the stuff through the till, mango, the bread, the milk. And he went, well, I'll tell you what, for you, £3 for the air plant. And at that point, old gullible Trev stepped in and went, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So I left with this fucking air plant.
For you, I'll give you a discount on the shit you don't want. That's good.
Yeah. And this is always happening to me over the years. The things I've signed up to or come home with that I don't want, that I've then got to sort out. I went to a shopping centre once, was just walking through. It was just coming up to Mother's Day. I bought some flowers for my mum. And as I'm walking past this woman, she said, oh, they're lovely flowers, aren't they? And I said, oh, yeah, yeah. She went, are they for your mum? I went, yes, yes. And she went, oh, aren't you a good son? She had me then, right? I'm hooked. I mean,
I end up... You've been complimented.
Yeah, yeah. I end up signing up to some fucking credit card I don't want.
What?
I couldn't just say, when she said, are you interested in a new credit card? Rather than just say, no thanks, I'm on my way. It's like, not really, but, you know, what is this? And then I end up fucking signing up to a new credit card that I don't want. I've signed up to charities in the past. I've been stopped in the street. The two I signed up for was one for mental health and one for a children's charity. And I've got better at that now. If they come to the door, I say no. But if I'm caught out in the street, if I'm stopped, I'm in trouble.
You see... have you thought of faking an accent and, you know, no English, sorry.
I should think of that. I mean, in the shop, I can't do that. He knows me too well.
Okay, fair enough.
To a stranger in the street, that could be a thought, that could be an idea. I suppose taking a phone call could work, a fake phone call.
Yeah, that's always a good option. You got to be quite confident on the status of your phone that, you know, it's not going to suddenly start ringing when you're faking a phone call.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to have to be quite adept at muting it as you pick it up.
Heart attack.
Yeah, that's an option. That's extreme to get you out of buying a pound's worth of mango.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, would you fake cardiac arrest for the saving of £4?
It would seem a waste of ambulance and hospital resources, because if I fake a heart attack, they're going to call an ambulance.
Yeah.
And I think certainly the times in which we're still living, using up NHS time for a fake coronary is probably not a wise move. maybe I take that back a bit, just say, I'm feeling a little bit faint. I've either got to make a rush to get home. Because the thing is, if I say I'm feeling a little bit faint, they might bring a chair out. There's more kindness offered. The more likely I am to leave with more stuff as the kindness increases, because I'll be more inclined to say yes to anything they offer. So it's got to be something that gets me away from them very quickly.
Yeah, they might say, would you like something to sort of, you know, a bit of sugar in your system? Here's a mango. By the way, that's a quid.
Yeah. He gave me a couple of weeks ago, he said, have you tried my little bananas?
I beg your pardon.
And I said, no, I haven't tried your little bananas. He said, I get these little bananas, and he picked up three of them. And they're tiny, tiny little bananas. He said, these are brilliant because eat one of those and it gives you the same energy as 7 full-size bananas. So he said, try one. So I tried one of these little bananas. Now, I don't know if he charged me for the rest, but I ended up leaving with the rest of these little bananas. I didn't want them. I was going on holiday. I didn't need little bananas.
What's the magic secret to these bananas? Why do they pack so much more of a punch than the bigger bananas?
I don't know, Matt. Perhaps because they're so compact. They've just got a lot of energy just bursting to get out. I don't know.
I'm going to remember that little secret. I'm going to try and convince Mrs. Ben that my small bananas is much more powerful than even the biggest of bananas.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's it. That's it. Size isn't important when it comes to the, to a banana. It's what you do with it that counts.
So, Trev, I wanted to do something again that we did recently. The radio advert game. We need a better name for it.
Yeah,
I think.
Commercial breakdown. I thought, but Jasper Carrot used to think we called that years ago, so I didn't want to just nick that. But I thought that's quite a decent name. We could call this our commercial breakdown.
That's good. I like that. So, basically, this is a nod.
Or advert antics.
Advert antics. I think I prefer commercial breakdown.
Okay, that's the name of the new feature. We could have had that meeting off air.
We could have, but I mean, this is the point. This whole feature is an on-air radio meeting.
Yes.
And this is a nod to some of the most insufferable meetings we have ever had to sit through in our days on the radio, where we would be given... Someone has brought some money to the radio station. They have got this product that they need to flog, and they are this company, and you idiots need to figure out a way of making that sound good on the radio.
Yeah. Now, we did one last week, which was about pubs and skis.
Yes.
And we came up with this idea of you do art in Guinness and you win some skis, right?
That was right, yeah.
And we was trying to come up with a tagline. I think we came up with just... Nice. Which
was it really as bad as that?
I think it was. And I've got to say, fair play to John, who texted me in the week and just said, I mean, we didn't come up with this, Ben. This is fucking genius. Because it was all about Guinness, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Guinness Ski Sunday.
Oh.
I mean, we're going to have the Ski Sunday theme tune on the music. It was all about doing art in the Guinness, and we completely missed that amazing punt. I think John deserves...
Yes. Hats off. Hats off.
A round of applause for that. So we'll see if we can come up with something just as memorable or as shit, and then John can come up with something better for whatever we do today.
Right. So today, the way we're doing this is I'm going to come up with the job or the profession, and you're going to come up with the product.
Yes.
So I've got my list of... professions here. I've got my random number generator on. It's come up with number four, yeah. Which is shoe shop.
Shoe shop.
Shoe shop.
Okay. And I've got my list of products.
I'll generate you a number. Number two, please.
Number two is a food blender. So we've got a shoe company that's with every pair of shoes... Will you get a food blender with every pair of shoes? Is that the deal, the offer they're coming up with?
I mean, that sounds like a bad deal, like from a business point of view. If I was giving away a food blender with every... I mean, a pair of shoes, what's that, 30, 40 quid?
Well, when you're size 15, you're talking 60 to 90, but yeah.
All right, just size 15.
I've got bloody big feet. They cost me a fortune. I would hope
little size 13 over here can't quite compete.
I would hope that my food blender would be comparable to the size of foot. I'd want a bigger food blender.
My point being, I'm not sure that we can afford to give away something that costs probably more than the shoes we're selling.
Right. So this is a bad business idea to start with.
Out of the gate, it's terrible.
Right. So, but anyway, the shoe company have come to us, so they've said, look, we've got food blenders to give away. So what's the mechanic here? How are we going to give away food blenders with shoes?
Okay, so the business is fundamentally a shoe shop.
Mm.
So we need to think of something that can link the necessity of blending food with feet and shoes.
I mean, my first thought is soul food.
Oh, that's strong. So, I must say, when I saw shoe shop come up, I thought we're going to have a soul pun in there somewhere.
Yeah. So soul food,
that's lovely.
Food for the soul.
Classic soul food.
What is soul food exactly?
Collard greens, Is jambalaya soul food?
Jambalaya. Jambalaya must be soul food. Yes. It sounds like it must be. Soul food.
I'm already worrying now that our silly little game where we have to mix a food blender with shoe shops is going to paint me as a racist who doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
No, right, jambalaya is, I've just put it in, soul food, easy jambalaya soup recipe. It's definitely soul food. So jambalaya, isn't there a song about jambalaya?
If there is, I don't know about it.
I'm sure that could be the music for the advert. There's a song, I'm sure, that's jambalaya. Yeah, the Carpenters, jambalaya.
Okay.
And that could be the music for the advert. It's got a nice feel to it, isn't it? It's
nice, yeah, I like that.
Could be a very sort of joyful commercial, I reckon. Oh, yeah, look at the way that kicks in.
Nice, yeah, I like that.
So this is the music for the advert.
I like this. The key question, though, is why is our shoe shop having a blender promotion?
Yeah.
We've done the legwork. We've got we've got soul, and no one knows soul like we know soul. But I still am having a hard time linking shoes to food here.
I've jumped ahead, haven't I? I've gone straight for the commercial. I've got the music sorted for the advert. But yeah, we're not quite sure why we're giving away food blenders with shoes.
Right.
Well, I mean, normally what would happen is we'd come up with the title first. So we've got that. We got soul food or food for the soul, right?
Yes.
So maybe it's just a health campaign. Healthy feet, healthy body, healthy mind. It's all about healthy living.
Can I point out the other thing we might be missing out, which is that is there a part of the shoe which is called the tongue, or am I making that up?
We do. There is a tongue as well. That's a good one. You've got the tongue.
So we've got the soul and the tongue.
Got the soul and the tongue. Yeah. Okay. Get your tongue into soul food.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
with our compliment. No, it's not complimentary, is it? It's some sort of prize, isn't it? Or,
well, is it a prize? Are you?
Well, if it's an advert, we need them to buy it.
Is it certain shoes? Is it it's not with every pair of shoes. It's only with a certain shoe that you're going to get a food blender. So it's probably a promotion for a style or a type of shoe. Would it be a trainer? Would it be a formal shoe? Is it going to be like a workman's boot?
I think the offer, because we're a shoe shop, has to apply to all shoes. But we can't financially, as a business, afford to give away a free blender with every pair of shoes. That doesn't make sense.
No.
So what about, this is an idea.
Yeah.
If you buy, now stick with me.
Yeah.
If you buy a pair of shoes, any pair, any kind, like you've said, any kind, you'll be entered into the mix.
Right.
To win a blender. You see what I did there? Into the mix, because blenders mix.
Right. Yes. Yeah, okay. So,
I mean, I'm trying to claw this one out of the grave with me, but...
Okay, so you buy any pair of shoes from our shoe store, get entered into the mix to win a top-of-the-line food blender to get your tongue into some soul food.
Right? Because no one knows souls like we know souls.
Our souls.
The Our Souls promotion. We got souls. There.
It's the
we
Our did souls. It. It's the Our Souls promotion. Our shoes, our souls. That's the tagline.
Get into the mix with our souls.
So there we go. That's the mechanic. We've got the music for the advert. We've got the tagline for the advert. Who's going to voice it?
Oh,
it's got to be some. What about Ainsley Harriet?
What, are you just thinking our souls? We'll go with Ainsley Harriet. Oh dear. Sold. Game over. That's it. We've done it.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. I've got one recommendation for you this week, Ben.
What have we got?
It's a film from 2018 that I recorded on ITV4. About a week or so back before I went on holiday. So I don't know if it's available on Catch Up, but look out for it. It's called The More You Ignore Me. And it's a brilliant film. It's written by Jo Brand. She plays a little cameo in it. There's some great cameos in it, or small roles in it. Sheila Hancock is only in it for probably about 5 minutes, but she steals the whole film. Do you know who Sheila Hancock is?
I can't say I do. Would I know her face?
You probably know her face. She's in her 80s now, I think, but she's one of those actresses that wherever she's in, I don't think I've ever seen anything that she's in and thought that was bad. She's just incredible. She should be up there in the same bracket as Dame Judi Dench and Dame Maggie Smith. Do you know what I mean? She's that good. So she's in it. And it's a typical kind of British dark comedy. It's about a woman and her daughter. The woman's got terrible psychiatric issues, but there's a lot of comedy around it, and it's quite a heartwarming but funny film, and it's just well worth a watch. It's a great couple of hours of your life. That's all I say.
Okay, sounds good.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.